You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis met on Thursday morning with the new Australian ambassador to the Holy See, Melissa Hitchman, who presented her credentials. The newest member of the Vatican's diplomatic corps is an experienced career officer with Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. She previously served overseas as First Secretary at the Australian High Commissioner in London. Diplomatic relations between Canberra and the Holy See were formally established in 1973, but Hitchman is both the first career diplomat and the first woman to hold the post of resident ambassador here. She sat down with me to talk about her goals and to share her perspectives on refugees, Aboriginal rights, counter-terrorism, and on the role of women in society today. Your predecessor here, John McCarthy, talked about wanting to put Australia on the map. What would you see, perhaps, as your goals, your priorities as you take up this new job?
Well, thank you very much, Philippa, and thank you to your listeners for being interested in what Australia is doing here in the Holy See. I do build on a strong foundation from my predecessors, Tim Fisher and John McCarthy, as the resident ambassadors here, but of course a long tradition prior to them. You would be aware that this is a very deliberate appointment by the Australian government. I'm the first career diplomat and the first woman to hold this position as resident ambassador. Of course, we did have one before, Anne Plunkett, who was non-resident from Dublin. So I do welcome the opportunity to, as you say, put Australia on the map, and as my predecessors have. There are four main goals that I have as I approach the position. The first is to say that this, as I said, is a very deliberate appointment by the Australian government. We have a reformist Pope in Francis, and we have an innovative Australian government under Malcolm Turnbull and Foreign Minister Julie Bishop and the rest of the Cabinet. So there is a convergence of views, I think, in terms of what can be achieved, not only in this post here by Australia, working in partnership with the Holy See, but also in other fora that we share, such as the United Nations in Geneva and also in New York, and with partner governments around the world. Secondly, we have a broad agenda with the Holy See already. I think perhaps that is little known, and I want to raise or elevate that in the public consciousness. So we have an agenda that spans from work together on conflict resolution, on human trafficking, on peace building, on gender empowerment, and of course Australia, as its bid for the Human Rights Council candidacy in 2018 to 2020, there's a convergence of views there. The third area is to highlight the government-to-government links, and of course I am a state-to-state representative under the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations, but there is a very strong and robust people-to-people set of links that are underpinned here, not only by religious who are serving in the Curia and also studying here in Rome, but also by a very strong youth stream that's coming into Rome from Australia through the Australian Catholic University, and I'd like to tap into that as well. So they're the third and fourth links, the people-to-people ones, not only through religious but also through lay people, particularly the young, and I think that will very much make the relationship vibrant and current.
That's a very broad, very ambitious agenda that you're setting yourself. How much interest is there, though, back home in the Australian government, really, to what's going on here at the Holy See, do you think?
I think Australians and also the Holy See itself might be surprised at how much interest there actually is. I think it's a commonly held view that the Pope is probably the most recognised global leader in the world, and he's held in great affection by Catholics and non-Catholics alike, and also, I think, respected for the views that he puts and the leverage that he is able to exert, whether that's in areas such as the détente between the United States and Cuba, whether it's in the Middle East, wherever it happens to be. In terms of the interest in Australia, the last census that we did that's public, we've just held one and those results are not out yet, but the 2011 census indicated that of those who identify as Catholics, there are 25.1%, I believe, of Catholics. So that's over a quarter of our population identified as Catholics last time the census was conducted. Now, they might not all be practicing, and I imagine with the secularisation of the West, that may be in decline over time, as it is in other countries. But there is a significant body of interest in the relationship between Australia and the Holy See. We have our largest expansion of our diplomatic footprint in 25 years, and this post was not inured, of course, from budget cuts, but the fact that it survived the cuts to other areas of the foreign affairs portfolio, I think in itself speaks volumes that the Prime Minister, the Foreign Minister, and others in the Cabinet and beyond in the Australian community see the value of this post and want to continue with it. Not only do they want to continue the good work that was exerted by powerful leaders such as Tim Fischer and others, but they want to professionalise it with a career diplomat and to send a signal by appointing a woman.
So diplomatic links are strong, as you say. How much do you think that the voice of the Catholic Church really counts in Australia today on the political scene, for example?
Well, I'm a career diplomat and it wouldn't be appropriate for me to comment on matters like that. There is, demarcation of what's appropriate. But it speaks for itself, I suppose, that those who will identify as Catholics, not only within the government, but outside the government, in the broader community, in the NGO community and civil society. That element is there, but Australia is a pluralist, multicultural society, and those voices are very much blended with other faiths and non-faiths alike.
Let's talk a bit about that pluralist, multi-faith society. We've seen a lot of tension across Europe recently, the terror attacks by radical Islamic groups, and you've very much faced this challenge, particularly a decade and a half ago in the wake of the Bali bombings. What role do you see perhaps the church playing in trying to overcome those tensions, in trying to build interfaith harmony in a society like Australia today?
As you say, Philippa, yes, Australia has experienced this firsthand with the Bali bombings in 2002 and 2005. We lost 88 Australians out of 202 who were killed in the 2002 events. And I think, as for many around the world, they can remember exactly where they were at that time. It was the 12th of October 2002. I was on posting in London. And that still resonates in the Australian consciousness. And of course, we've had events since. The Australian government has a very robust policy on counter-terrorism efforts. In fact, our Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, is on a three-day visit to Germany, where she will be attending the inaugural 2+2, that's foreign ministers and defence ministers, and counter-terrorism and countering violent extremism are very much on her agenda. She'll then go to the annual OCMIN, Australia-UK ministerial meeting in London, where, of course, she will be talking about this too. So Australia partners not only with those in the region but beyond, such as the Holy See. We will be working here, I will, in my role as ambassador, to partner with the Holy See in fora where we can on countering terrorism and countering violent extremism. There is a role for the church, obviously. It's not for us to dictate what that role would be, but certainly the messages that the Pope has been talking about, inclusiveness and about respect for different views, different ethnicities, different faiths, is one, I think, that resonates in Australia.
Another of the big challenges, of course, facing Australia is the question of refugees and migrants coming into the country. It's a challenge and it's something on which the government has been routinely criticised by human rights groups. What is your view on that? Do you think the government should be doing more to resettle larger numbers of refugees and particularly to close down the detention centres, the offshore camps that have been so heavily criticised?
Thanks for that question, Philippa. It gives me the opportunity to say that there seems to be a misconception that Australia doesn't have borders that welcome refugees. In fact, we are the globe's highest per capita resettlement of UNHCR recognised refugees. That's the highest in the world. We have a humanitarian program of over 13,000 refugees per annum, and we've been accepting refugees since 1947. We're a signatory to the 1951 Refugee Convention. We agree more needs to be done, and that's why, on top of the 13,000 we have per annum, we have also agreed to take in 12,000 from the Syrian-Iraq conflict, and our government has committed to increasing the refugee humanitarian intake up to 18,000 in 2018-2019. The ones that we select are certainly those who come from camps where they have had their refugee claims assessed, and they are some of those who are amongst the most disadvantaged and waited the longest to be resettled in third countries. Australia takes our commitments very seriously. We're a member of the Bali process on people smuggling and human trafficking, and our ambassador for people smuggling, Andrew Golodznowski, was in Rome in June. He attended the conference here. He met the Pope. I think there was a sense that our region was underrepresented at that opportunity. I think there were only about three who came from the Asian region, and we look to improving that dialogue and expanding on it.
On a more personal note, you mentioned you're the first female ambassador here, resident ambassador. What do you see, perhaps, as the role of women in the Catholic Church today? We've heard the Pope talk a lot about the need for greater female representation at leadership level. What are your views on that?
So, as I said, I'm a state-to-state representative under the Vienna Convention, and it wouldn't be appropriate for me to comment on church matters per se. However, what I can say is that the Australian government has a very strong policy on gender empowerment and looks to partner with others such as the Holy See, and we recognise and are very pleased about the role of women in senior positions so that they can actually transform, I think, the approach that's taken. So you may be aware that Rosemary Goldie was one of the first, the most senior woman in the Curia at the time.
Back in the 1960s?
Or even before that, yes, as the Undersecretary for the Pontifical Council, it was of the laity when she was involved with it, later changed to for the laity. She was also an auditor during the Second Vatican Council. And there are many women today within the Holy See hierarchy that I will be dealing with at Undersecretary and other level, within the Secretary of State, within the Council for the Laity, in Justice and Peace and beyond. And we very much welcome that. The Australian government's policy on gender empowerment, particularly in the Indo-Pacific, recognises that where women are involved, it can lift outcomes right across the board, not only for them, but for their economies. And we look at doing that in health, in education, in employment, but we also look at doing that politically. So, for example, one of our portfolio ministers, Concetta Fioravanti-Wells, has launched a gender strategy, and that's available for those who'd like to consult it further on our website, and it goes to these sorts of issues. So, yes, there is a role for women, and I'm delighted to be able to play my part in that.
Going back to 10 years ago, Pope Benedict talked to the last non-resident diplomat here in Australia, talked about the painful situation of Aboriginal society. Do you think that was a fair assessment back then? And how much progress would you say has been made since then?
I think Australia, as with many countries, has had a struggle with its history. And it's one we've been very transparent and open about. At the time, Pope Benedict expanded on those comments by saying that there was room for not only forgiveness to be asked, but forgiveness to be given. And since then, the Australian government has made progress on that. You may be aware of the 2008 apology to the Stolen Generations, which, after ratification of the Kyoto Protocol, was the next most recent thing that then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd did, in fact. He was the one who established this post, as you may know, at the time, around the time in anticipation of the canonisation of Mary MacKillop. But back to Indigenous issues, yes, we have had the apology to the Stolen Generation in 2008. We have had the Closing the Gap report, which looks at health, education, employment outcomes and other outcomes for our Indigenous people. And the Prime Minister has committed to reporting to the Parliament on that every year. We're making progress. There's still more to be done. But not only in the economic sphere, but in the political one too, we are looking at recognition of our Indigenous people, our first people in the Australian Constitution, which will be an important step forward. So I think being a mature, democratic, pluralist society, it's something that we don't hide away from. We say, yes, there are mistakes that have been made, and we're looking to correct them.
Finally, on perhaps a lighter note, your predecessor John McCarthy was a very keen sportsman and founded, as you know, the St. Peter's Cricket Club, the Vatican 11, as they're also called. I'm wondering, do you have any sporting passions of your own, and are you going to continue supporting this very important ecumenical and interfaith initiative?
Well, thank you, Philippa. I think we all bring different strengths to the position. I wouldn't have said sport or cricket in particular was one of mine. I know it was of John's, and I had the good fortune to meet John before I came here and to receive his insights. And you'd know that Tim, his predecessor, his particular forte was trains. So we all bring different strengths to the job. I'm not sure that that one will be one of mine. But certainly the Australian government has a sports diplomacy agenda. You'd know there's the Faith and Sport Conference coming up next month, and we have Australians represented at that, and we hope to perhaps do an event here at the Chancery. So certainly there will be a continuation of sorts in that sphere, but I'm not sure that it will be exactly in the same direction.
My thanks there to Melissa Hitchman, Australia's new ambassador to the Holy See, who presented her credentials in the Vatican on Thursday.